Okay, we're going to look today, we're going to look at lesson 19. We're going to start the journey to Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea is a very significant place. We're going to talk about why that is next week. But we're going to leave now Mount Sinai. We're going to leave where they are and make the journey, because remember, they're supposed to go to the Promised Land, right? They're supposed to go to the Promised Land. But we're going to see that as they leave, there's some problems that happen. Okay? There's some problems. And you just got to hand it to Moses, because he's willing to stick it out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, well, actually today he's not willing to stick it out. He asked God to do something. And it's not towards the people. Okay? It's because of the people. And we're going to see that today. So we're going to look at chapters 10. Verse 11 through chapter 12, verse 16. Now again, we're not going to read the scripture because there's a large portion of scripture there, but we are going to take a look at several things here. So, first of all, in chapter 10, verse 11 through 36, we're going to see that they depart from Sinai. Okay? So they depart from where Mount Sinai is. So 20 days after giving instructions concerning moving towards Canaan, the cloud lifted. Okay? So remember, they were given instructions about how they were to march. Remember we talked about that the last time we looked at this? They were given instructions about what order they were to march in, and where the tabernacle was to be in the order and the different parts of it and how they were to march into a place. Well, exactly 20 days after those instructions were given, the cloud, the Shekinah glory, lifts from the tabernacle and moves out. That's a sign to the people that they're to what, folks? Move. Follow the cloud, right? Okay? So 20 days after that, they, giving those instructions, the cloud lifted. So the cloud directed Israel to journey 3 days towards the wilderness of Paran. So the cloud, this pillar of cloud, directs the people, the Israelites, to move to the wilderness of Paran. So first of all, this is 3 days journey into the desert, okay? So this is not like the scenic road trip that you would take if you're going to go down I-80 and you know every 20 miles is a rest area. This isn't it. This is in, the whole issue of moving a whole bunch of people into the desert 3 days. Okay? So the tribes departed the wilderness of Sinai in the marching order that the Lord had directed them. So they marched out in the order that they were told earlier. So they did exactly as they were told as far as marching out. Okay? So you're talking actually 13 tribes. Because remember, there are two half-tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Okay? So 13 tribes. The one tribe of Levi is always with the tabernacle stuff. Okay? So they head on out in the order that they were directed. Now here's something that's very interesting. It's kind of like a side note, but it's very important. Remember, Moses has in-laws, Midianites, who, of course, Jethro is the father-in-law, and he has a brother-in-law, Hobab, who lives with him, okay, who's been staying with him. So as they're leaving Mount Sinai, Moses invited his brother-in-law, Hobab, to accompany him to the land of promise. So Moses is kind of like, hey, won't you take the journey with us? Okay? Now think about that. As you find out what's going to happen later, that's quite a request. Okay? Take the journey with us to the promised land. Okay? Now, of course, Hobab, if you read the scripture, is not wanting to do that. You know, I mean, you're talking about moving with these complaining people, you know, to Canaan, and he's from the area there. But Moses is thinking. He's got a reason for wanting his brother-in-law to come with him. So Hobab would be familiar with the desert routes that Israel would need to take. So he knows the roadways, okay? He knows the roadways. He's kind of the GPS that you have on your phone. You know what I'm saying? Remember, we used to use maps to figure out where to go. Nobody has a map anymore. We have our phones now to guide us where we want to go, right? But there were no maps back then, and there was no cell towers with smartphones, okay? So Hobab knew the desert route, so Moses has got a reason for inviting his brother-in-law along. He needs somebody who can direct him the right direction to Kadesh Barnea, okay? So he needs him to come along. Now, Moses would invoke, now this is something that he would do every day, so this is interesting. You can think about this for a moment. Moses would invoke God's presence through prayer at the beginning and the end of a day's journey. So if you look, in fact, let's look at that. If you go to chapter 10 of Numbers, verse 35, so when it was that whenever the ark set out, Moses said, now this is him invoking God, when it set out, okay, rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, let those who hate you flee before you. So it's a kind of like a prayer. God, scatter our enemies. You be who you are today, okay? Then notice, when it rested, here's how he prayed when it came back, return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel. So God, let your presence be among us as we're finishing out the day here. Now, isn't that interesting? God, that Moses would start out his day with prayer, asking God to what? Be with him, take care of his enemies, and then, Lord, let your presence be with us in the evening when we're here. You know what I'm saying? Now, is there something we can learn from that? Is there something we can learn from that? Or do you just start your day, okay, coffee, I'm ready. Is your coffee really that powerful enough to let you handle the junk you face each day? No, not really, right? But there's something about asking God to be with you as you start your day and scatter your enemies. You do have enemies, right? Yeah, you know you do, okay? And then in the day, when you start out your day, God, may your presence rest with me this evening. You know what I'm saying? So it's quite an interesting thing Moses is doing here, okay? So this is what Moses is doing as they're departing. Now, when you get to chapter 11, verse 1, through chapter 12, verse 16, so this is where we're going to spend the rest of our time today, you're going to see that things aren't great, that there are some problems, and people are the problem. You're going to see that there are two significant rebellions that happen against Moses, okay? Everybody understand what a rebellion is? It's like, we're done with you. We're getting rid of you. We're going to do our own thing. We're not following your lead anymore. Okay, so here's what happens. First of all, in chapter 11, verses 1 to 35, there's the rebellion of the people. The people rebel against Moses. Now, they do two things here. We're going to see two things that are mentioned here. First of all, in verses 1 to 3, we're going to see that the people are complaining. Okay? That's not normal, is it? People don't complain, right? Yeah, especially those of you who are in customer service, customers never complain, right? Right? Bosses never complain, right? Okay. People complaining, all right? So here, notice what happens here. After the three-day journey, the people began to complain in the hearing of the Lord, the text says. The text says that after they've gone 3 days into the wilderness, a Paran, people start grumbling and complaining again. Okay? Okay, stop for a moment. They've been spending about 2 years at the foot of Mount Sinai, which is not a beautiful area. Okay? I mean, it's not the greatest place to live, but they've been there for 2 years in preparation for this. They're moving to go where? To the promised land. The land that they were promised that's flowing with milk and honey. Where they would get their own piece of land and start their lives all over. Okay, so they're starting to move in that direction, and guess what they do? They complain. They grumble in the hearing of the Lord. Now here's what happens though. God's not going to put up with it. So in his anger, God consumed the complainers with fire. Now that's an interesting way to deal with people who complain, right? Call down fire on them. I know you probably would like to have had that ability with some of the people you deal with who are complaining all the time. Are you complaining? You know, take care of that, you know what I'm saying? But God in his anger consumes the complainers with fire. So guess what they do? When this happens, they're complaining, they're grumbling, God starts bringing the fire down. Guess what they do, folks? What do they normally do when God starts to deal with them? They go to Moses and ask for Moses to intercede for them, right? So the people cried out for Moses to intercede, and the fire was quenched when he prayed. Isn't that interesting? Oh, save us, Moses, God's killing us, you know. And he prays, and the fire was quenched, okay? All right, but the complaining doesn't end there. The complaining doesn't end there, because here's what you're going to see. They're 2 days' journey. Now, for 2 years, God has provided them what? God has provided the manna for them to eat. We saw earlier that he even provided quail for them, okay? It's all part of the daily routine, all right? Well, guess what happens? They're on their way to the promised land. Okay, they're on their way. All right? In verse 4 through 35, they're complaining.